This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alrighty, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to day number 16 of Ramadan 360 with Al Maghrib Institute. Once again, this is your host, Hafsa, and I'm so excited to be back with you all for this session with Sheikh Yasser Burgess, who you guys saw earlier in the Ramadan 360 experience, but I wasn't hosting then, so it's my first time hosting him back after some time, alhamdulillah. Welcome, 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 Hajar from Toronto. Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Farida, Marissa from Singapore. Let me just set this up so that I can see your lovely faces, inshallah, on screen as well. There you go. So you guys should be able to turn your cameras on now as well and join me and give me some great company as well. Ragad, brother Hassan, Hadra, shout out to y'all. Carrie, Aisha Gamda, and Ahmed, welcome, welcome, welcome to my screen. That's just who I see so far. It's great to have you back for day number 16. At this point, guys, it's going to start. It's just a race to the end, subhanAllah. We've already crossed the bulk of it. More time has passed than is remaining. Excuse me. So it's just a point of, subhanAllah, making it to the finish line. May Allah allow us to get to the end of it, Ramadan, and leave us accepted and forgiven. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Paris, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Lovely to have you back. Sister Bilkis, Aisha, and everyone who's been, mashallah, I feel like now we have a very consistent crew on our Ramadan 360 kind of episodes. And we've got the odd new person, mashallah, joining us for the experience. And again, the registration is open until the end of the month so that you can continue to share with your friends and family and invite them to come join us, inshallah. But we're very excited to keep the momentum going, keep the benefit going, inshallah, and try to maintain that energy of coming in live, coming in a couple minutes early, being part of the early crew and getting that extra bit of ajr for your enthusiasm for learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're, of course, on day 15 of our 30 Quranic principles in 30 days, and day 16. And today's principle is going to be a good character with Sheikh Yasser Burgess. Now, I don't know if my guest host who is hosting Sheikh Yasser's previous session gave you a bit of a taste of who Sheikh Yasser is in the Maghrib community. He's one of our most taught instructors, mashallah, tabarakallah. Wait, did I host Sheikh Yasser before? Honestly, it's all blending together at this point. Maybe I did host him. Does anyone remember if I hosted him in Ramadan 360? I feel like I've been seeing him, mashallah, on my screen a lot more than I have previously. And you guys may have as well, if you're following Valley Ranch Islamic Center or the shenanigans that are happening every year between Sheikh Omar Suleiman and Sheikh Yasser, mashallah, that if you don't know what I'm talking about, you guys need to follow them on social media and see what they're up to this time of year. It's always very interesting, this rivalry that pops up, you know, seemingly out of nowhere, right before, donation drives are coming through, subhanAllah. But alhamdulillah, yes, get it. There's parking spot shenanigans, locking out of office shenanigans, and a lot more of that, alhamdulillah. And it's great to see that kind of that's an example of good character, of seeing our sheikh being able to banter with each other and hype each other up and engage with each other while still maintaining like that Islamic balance as well, alhamdulillah. In Al-Maghrib, he's the head of our Islamic law and theory department. He's a pastoral marriage and family counselor. As I mentioned, he's the Imam of Valley Ranch Islamic Center, and he's one of our OG instructors. He's one of our most taught instructors as well. Back in the day, if you were there in the beginning years of Al-Maghrib, in the past 20 years, mashallah, you got a chance to benefit from him immensely. And now it's always a treat. You may have, some of you, attended it or taken Blessed Voyage trips with him to Bosnia in the past year or so. We look forward to more of those, inshallah. He's an amazing tour guide of that beautiful part of the world, alhamdulillah. And he's one of our OGs. So we look forward to having you benefit from him again. If you've seen him in the webinars, if you've seen him in previous sessions, inshallah, you know what you're in for. But we're looking forward to a lot more of that Sheikh Yasser wisdom. And I think he's almost with us. Yes, he is with us, alhamdulillah. So we're going to jump right into the session in just a second. I just want to obviously shout out, as we do, the amazing folks that make Ramadan 360 possible year after year. In the US, we have HHRD. In Canada, we have Islamic Relief. And in the UK, we have Forgotten Women. And I want to remind you guys, subhanAllah, while we're kind of still able to maintain or push forward with as much of the Ramadan spirit as we can, as much of a struggle as this month has been, it's been a very, very difficult Ramadan for our brothers and sisters in Gaza. And it's been a nonstop fast, honestly, for most of them. So please do support generously to the charity sponsors. And thank you to Zakalah Karfasleen for linking them here in the chat and in YouTube. They're in the description of the video bio as well. So please do, or video description as well. So please do support them continuously. As many times as you hear it, please do support. With that said, I'm very excited to jump into today's session. I do encourage you guys, as always, we'll plug the daily giving a little bit later and we'll see where we're sitting at, inshallah. So if you want to sneak it in and push us up above the goal, please do at almaghrib.org/givedaily. But now I want to bring Sheikh Yasser onto the screen, and I want you guys to have an opportunity to benefit from him, inshallah. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh Yasir Rajas. How are you doing today?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Hayakumullah. How are you doing? How's your Ramadan so far?
So you're switching off on me. Alhamdulillah. Mine is great, Sheikh. Alhamdulillah. With his community, it's amazing. How is yours doing?
Alhamdulillah. So far, mashallah, so good. And subhanAllah, starting, of course, today, we're counting down right now the days of Ramadan towards Eid. So we're not going to fast more than what we already fasted. For those who, of course, who broke their fast on the other side of the world, of course, they're not even ahead of us. Yep. We're coming closer to Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us Ramadan, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easier for all of us, Ya Allah. And yes, I still have my parking spot in the masjid, alhamdulillah. And Sheikh Omar is going to take it, no matter how much he tries.
Alrighty, Sheikh. We look forward to more of the halal drama that we see out of VRIC every year. But alhamdulillah, today we're here to benefit from you. Inshallah, we'll have some questions for you at the end. But let's jump in, right in into your topic.
Bismillah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka nabiyyana Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira thumma amma ba'd. So if I ask you a simple question right now, how many of us can claim that they have mashallah perfected their character? Raise your hand if you can claim that you've alhamdulillah perfected your character so far. Anyone can claim that they mashallah perfected their character? Because if you do, then you're in Jannah already. You're not on earth anymore. But in reality is that we're all of us, of course, in that kind of struggle that we're trying to work on it and improving, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And there is a very important thing, mashallah. And by the way, I see, mashallah, two hands being raised, alhamdulillah. So these are the people of Jannah, mashallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them, ya Rabbil Alameen. But seriously, as human beings, it's an ongoing struggle. And as a matter of fact, this is something we have to understand. Why is it an ongoing struggle? And what can we do, inshallah, to improve our character? And why is it very important even to have what we call it in Arabic, husnul khuluq? So let's first of all try to see what's the importance of that thing. Husnul Khuluq was mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something of high quality and of course praiseworthy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, qal wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. That you are, ya Muhammad, ala khuluqin azim, means the high standard of character, the best character. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlight this about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam unless it's something worthy of mention, if not even the most important thing to mention as well too? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the prophets and his selection to the message, unlike some other maybe, you know, books of faith and other faith and so on, when it comes to speak about the prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always praised the prophet of being among the best of the best and the high character, obviously, of everybody. So he speaks about them, he would say, قَالْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ or another قِرَاءَ مِنْ أَنْفَسِهُمْ. Like Allah chooses the people, from the prophets from among the people, among their own people. But there's another qira'ah that says min anfasihum, which means from among the best of the best. So the best of the best. So the subject of husnul khuluq and good character and high standard of character is definitely is a praiseworthy. It is something religious. It's a duty. And as a matter of fact, it's one of your missions in this life is try to complete and perfect your deen and your character. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, قَالْ إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was sent to people in order for them to help them perfect their character. What does it mean when we say to perfect their character? You see, the whole idea of having that perfect insan and perfect human being is not just a Muslim thing. It has been from the very beginning of mankind. Everybody was working on trying to define what makes a human being a perfect human being. What is perfection in human being? Obviously, a lot of people, depends on their culture, depends on their philosophical, you know, perspective and background and so on, try to define what a perfect man could mean. So some, they focus on the physical image. Some, they focus on, of course, on the carnal delights, on this, on that, whatever that is. But for the Muslim, husnul khuluq has been defined for us in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's extremely important that we understand that, because once again, the whole purpose of you being religious, the whole purpose of you practicing what you practice of your deen and your ibadah is to complete your akhlaq, to have that relative human perfection. And when I say human perfection, again, I'm talking about human perfection from a human perspective. We're not equating our perfection to angelic perfection, because that's something beyond this world. But human perfection is possible if you follow those rules of husnul khuluq as well too. Like, even if you make mistakes, even if you sin, there's a way to perfect that. And that's by repenting and amending your affairs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what makes you a perfect human being in that context. that you're turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're never arrogant or continuing with your sin, with your error. Rather, you admit it and you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's first of all talk about what husnul khuluq is anyway. So the word khuluq or akhlaq in general, from the Arabic dictionary, you would look at it, it has a couple of meanings. One meaning is about the physical touch, like basically, which is why we say khalq as well, which means creation is also something physical. And another one is it's a source of measurement. What does that mean? You say they used to measure people. That's the word, measuring people by their akhlaq. You know, nowadays even when you say you size people, what does it mean to size people? Size people up or size people down? When you try to compare them to yourself or compare them to other people in regards to what? Their qualities, their traits, and their characteristics, and obviously overall with their akhlaq. That's what it means. So we're sizing people. So al-khuluq is the same thing. And that's why whenever they talk about somebody, they would say that, you know what, taqdeer, that he is muqaddar. Yani he has this amount of patience, this amount of forbearance, this amount of generosity. So basically they measure them by that. That's why this is called actually khuluq and akhlaq. Overall, it's more of like a natural, innate, natural disposition, but it's also enhanced through practice as well too. Now, in regards to saying husn al-khuluq, we're looking into the word husn comes from ahsan or ihsan, which means what? Excellence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this whole creation based on ihsan. When he says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, Surah Tabaraka, he said, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, who he created you, who created actually death and life in order to try you, who is going to be most excellent in their deeds, in their a'mal. And he gave us the incentive for this, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the incentive, he says in Surah Ar-Rahman, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, what is the reward for ihsan other than ihsan? Like if you bring me ihsan with your qualities, with your character, with your practice, with your deeds, I will give you ihsan and perfection also in regard to the reward for it. So ihsan is, this creation is all really about ihsan. So, and we say husnul khuluq, what does it mean? You need to perfect your akhlaq, to try to perfect your character, have that excellent practice of character and akhlaq and manners and so on. That's why when we talk about khuluq, we say husnul khuluq, like the most perfect and the best example of husnul khuluq. Now, husnul khuluq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even sent the whole, like I said, create the prophethood, all of it. It was about perfecting the human being in a sense that is considered with husn akhlaq and character. So when he said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال الله عز وجل هو الذي بعث هو الذي بعث في الأمين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم, that he was the one who sent among the illiterate people a messenger, a prophet, for what? With his ayat, with his verses, liyuzakkihim, so he would purify them, yuzakkihim. So the whole purpose, before even saying about teaching them the kitab and hikmah, before qal yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhum al-kitab wal-hikmah. So the first thing that he mentioned here in this ayah is to perfect their character. And then he mentioned, how is that going to be? By teaching them the book, the wisdom, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and akhlaq and the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam to Fir'aun, when Allah sent Musa to Fir'aun, I mean, we all know the debates that Musa had with Fir'aun, all these, of course, you know, discussions and debates and so forth. But Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he simply summarized the story of Musa and Fir'aun, the story of Musa and Fir'aun in simple words. As he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah An-Nazi'at, about the discussion between Musa and Fir'aun, قال, فَهَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ قَالْ اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَىٰ, go to Fir'aun because he's a tyrant, he transgressed, and now he summarizes his da'wah by saying, فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَزَكَّىٰ, shall I guide you so that you purify yourself? So tazakkah, tazkiyah, and what Allah sent the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to the people for, yuzakkihim, also to do that tazkiyah, it's all about really perfecting that human character and create that perfect human being. Again, in the context of talking about humanity, so create that perfect human being with the best akhlaq and manners when it comes to dealing with people. So now that we know that even the whole message was all about perfecting our akhlaq our manners, then it's extremely important for us to keep that in mind. Many of us, when it comes to the akhlaq, they focus to being religious, as a matter of fact, they focus so much on their salah, their fasting, their ibadah, their charity, and it's all important, no doubt about it. But above all of this, you need to, with that, bring husnul khuluq, because sometimes all your salah, your ibadah, your ta'ah will be wasted if it's not accompanied with husnul khuluq. The evidence for this in the hadith in Sahih, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked, "Qala atadruna man al-muflis?" Do you know who is the one who's bankrupt? "Qalu al-muflis fina man laysa lahu dirham wala dinar." Ya Rasulullah, the one who's bankrupt is the one who has no gold, no silver, no money. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That's easy. That's not the real bankruptcy." He said, "But al-muflis, the true bankruptcy, is when you come on the day of judgment, alladhi yati yawm al-qiyamah bi'a'malin kajibali tihama, brings on the day of judgment good deeds the size of the Mount of Tihama, the mountain range that you guys see when you go to Mecca. And as you drive south from Medina to Mecca, you start coming closer to Mecca, you start seeing mountains towards the shore. And those mountain range go all the way down to Yemen. A huge mountain range. And the Prophet says, people on the Day of Judgment will come with deeds. And he mentions specific deeds. He goes, min salatin wa siyamin wa sadaqa. That these are bringing their salah, they bring their fasting, they bring in their charities. All of these good deeds are now the size of the mountains of Tihama. But then he says, قال ولكن قد جاء وقد شتم هذا وضرب هذا وأكل مال هذا, cursed at this person, insulted this person, stole from this person, hurt this person. So they all start taking from their hasanat. And when they're done, they take from their sayyat, put on that person's deeds, and the person will be ruined. So what does that even mean here? Their religiosity wasn't sufficient enough to make them spiritual and make them with good akhlaq under manak. Salah, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, tanha an al-fahsha'i wal-munkar, supposed to prevent people from committing fahisha, and munkar means bad deeds and ugly deeds and so on. That's supposed to be the purpose of your ibadah. And if that's not bringing you to where you're supposed to be, then there's a problem here. So we need to understand what's the reward for husnul khuluq, and how we can do that, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So now we'll come to the subject of husnul khuluq. What am I going to getting out of this? And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us one of the most beautiful incentives. Qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna al-mu'mina la yudrika bi husni khuluqihi darajat as-sa'im al-qa'im. Look, not all of us are capable of fasting Mondays and Thursdays every three days of the month of Ramadan. You know, sometimes, especially the sisters, you know, she's pregnant, she's now nursing, she's carrying the babies, blah, blah, blah. The guys keep traveling for work. I don't have that energy to fast Mondays and Thursdays. I don't have that energy to wake up at night and pray for half an hour or more or less. I don't have that energy all the time. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan comes, it helps me out. But after that, I go back to some old things. So the Prophet says, inna rajula, that a person can reach the level of as-sa'im al-qa'im, someone who's constantly fasting, constantly praying at night, with husnul khuluq, his good deed or her good manners. So good manners can equate to so much of ibadah, just by being well-mannered. The second thing the Prophet ﷺ mentioned here, when he spoke about people, قال إن من خياركم أحاسنكم أخلاقا. Like, among the best of all of you, among the best of all of you, human beings, people, because those who are best in their manners and in their akhlaq. So he didn't say about those who dedicate themselves to the night for ibadah or dedicate their day for fast. He says, those who truly treat people kindly, those with akhlaq and good manners. And even not just in the dunya. The Prophet ﷺ says that, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال أقربكم مني مجلسا يوم القيامة أحسنكم أخلاقا. That those who will be nearest to me on the day of judgment in terms of the seating, you know, the VIP seating with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the closest to me in terms of their position, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, qal ahsanukum akhlaqa, those are best in their akhlaq and their manners. That's why sallallahu alaihi wasallam said also, qal laysa shay'un athqalu fil mizan min husn al khuluq. Nothing will be heavier for you in terms of good deeds. Nothing will be heavier for you on your scale more than husn al khuluq, your good character and your good manners. See, many, many people, they wondered about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam manners and akhlaq privately. Publicly, he's perfect, mashallah. His akhlaq, pristine, beautiful, sparkling character, tabarakallah. Everybody sees the Prophet publicly. But some people, they were wondering, what about his private life? Is it like ours? Like, as you see, most of us here, we have sometimes, you know, unfortunately, kind of like double faces. In public, we're smiling, we're happy, we're jolly, we're easygoing, we deal with people in the best akhlaq and manners. But when we go privately at home with our siblings, our spouses, our children, Allah musta'an, we don't necessarily display the exact same level of patience and akhlaq and mannerism with them. So some people were actually feeling that way. Maybe, how about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So they went asking Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she cut that conversation with them very short. Like, she was telling them, look, don't waste your time. Don't waste your energy looking at the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His akhlaq was the Qur'an itself. What does that mean? She says, what do you see in the Qur'an? What the Qur'an says? He's the first person to do it. What the Qur'an prohibits? He's the first person to stay away from it. So basically, he was an actual interpretation of the Qur'an. He was the walking Qur'an, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. So if someone wants to really perfect their character and their akhlaq, then they're going to have to work on following the commandments of the Qur'an and the sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to dealing with the people, قال, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأَمَرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, always take the path of forgiveness, like overlook. وَأَمَرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, still you need to invite people to that which is good. Always invite them to that which is good. You know, just avoiding people's wrong and evil does not necessarily mean you cannot ask them to do that which is right. You should. قال وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and turn away from the ignorant. What does that mean? As Allah described in Surah Al-Furqan, Ibad al-Rahman, قال, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When the ignorant, when the foolish, they talk to them and they curse at them and speak ill towards them, what do they say? Peace. Like, I'm not going to get myself involved in that kind of character. That kind of behavior is not mine. I'm not involved in that kind of stuff. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ, if you were harsh, hard-hearted person, they will disperse away from you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can't have that harshness with the people, which is explained to us what's the real meaning of husn al-khuluq, is not to be harsh with the people, not to have that hard heart against these people, always overlooking and forgiving without compromising your values, that you still stand your ground. It comes to inviting people to that which is good, stay your ground, even actually if people wrong you, and don't behave like them. In hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تكن إمّع. Don't be إمّع. إمّع could be translated today as, you could say, like a copycat. Don't be someone like a copycat, which means whatever people do, you do. They behaved well with you, you behave well with them. They behave bad, you behave worse. Because لا تكن إمّع إن أحسن الناس أن تحسوا ونساوا أن تسيوا. That if people treat you well, you treat them well. If they treat you bad, you treat them bad. He goes, no, well, I can want to know, for the community to adapt. Adapt, which means treat people with goodness and kindness. In ahsan al-nas an tuhsinu wa in asa'u an tatajannabu isa'atahum. That if people treat you well, you treat them better. And if they treat you bad, you still treat them that which is better. Why? Because this is the akhlaq and the manners of a true believer. Now, how can I improve my akhlaq and my mannerism? Okay, I understand this is very valuable, this is very beautiful. What do I need to do then? Here are a few things I can share with you, inshallah, on how we can work on our akhlaq, on our manners. Number one, the first and most important things is to truly believe in the value of the akhlaq and good character. Because if you can't believe in that, I can't really help you. If you don't believe that, you know what, I need to behave better with people, to be better that in terms of quality with the people, then I can't help you. Because a lot of times people, they ask me, what if people keep wronging me, or people keep, you know, saying this about me, blah, blah. I said, look, you have the option to retaliate with justice. No harm and no shame in pursuing your haq for justice. There's nothing wrong with that. But that doesn't make you any better than the people. You want to be better than those people? Allah says, قَالْ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنْ, always respond in that which is the best. Now look, if you're in a situation where you cannot respond at all, like you have no other option, there is no virtue in that. Where is the virtue? The virtue is if you can retaliate, but you choose not to. That's where the virtue is. That's where the husn al-khuluq comes in. Now, does it mean I cannot really retaliate against people who keep, you know, wronging me? You can. Again, that's path of justice. And sometimes you should do that. But healthy boundaries in that regard should be observed. And remind yourself that always, even though I can retaliate, but it doesn't mean I should. I better for me to choose that which is best. So the first thing is to truly believe in husn al-khuluq, and that's how important that is. Because Allah says in the Quran, قال Surah al-Shams, قال قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. Successful is the one who purifies himself, زكاها وقد خاب من دساها, and doomed is the one who does not. This came after 13 oaths in the Quran. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. Allah is swearing by the sun, by the moon, by the day, by the night. All of this, and he said after that, I swear to you by all these magnificent creation that successful is the person who purifies himself and doomed is the one who does not. So I need to believe in the importance of always improving my character. I will say again, always improving. What does that mean? There is no limit to where to stop. So you always remind yourself it's a matter of growth. It's a matter of growth. And exactly like Bilal mentioned, a continuous actually effort. You always continue to grow. So your akhlaq, your man, is not about I reached there that level. No. It's about there's always a room to prove, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Number two, the second thing that I want to share with you, inshallah ta'ala, is thinking about the reward for being alhamdulillah with good akhlaq and good manners. So good akhlaq and good manners, like what? Like we said, if you want to be close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remind yourself of that incentive. I know my salah, my fasting, my charities wouldn't bring me closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I would love to at least give myself a shot with my husn al-khuluq with the people, with my good manners with the people, to bring me as close as possible to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know myself. I don't have that energy to do these good deeds that other people do. But I would like at least to do what I can, meaning treat people kindly and be kind to them, be nice to them, and do my best, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. The third thing I would recommend for you is to always, always find the good companionship. What does that mean exactly? I mean, in Arabic we say, قُلْ لِمَنْ تُصَاحِبْ أَقُلُ لَكَ مَنْ أَنْتَ. Tell me who is your companion, I'll tell you who you are. And they say, الصاحب ساحب. Companions gravitate. Your friends will gravitate you to whatever their akhlaq and their manners. And even if you're not that bad as they are, but they're gonna basically leave some dust on you. So therefore, it's very important, very, very important that you be around the people who can bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that kind of perfection. Hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال مثل الجليس الصالح والجليس السوء كحامل المسك ونافخ الكير. The example of good companion, some people that you associate with, and the bad one is the example of حامل المسك, the one who is a perfume seller, and a blacksmith. He goes, as for the perfume seller, إما يحذيك وإما تبتاع منه وإما تجد منه ريحا طيبة. He might give you a gift or a sample, you might buy something from them, or the least, you leave with a nice beautiful smell, an aroma that catches on your body, on your clothes. So that's the kind of people you associate yourself with. When they're good, something stays with you from dealing with them. قال وحامل ونافخ الكير, the blacksmith, إما يحرق ثيابك أو تجد منه ريحا خبيثة. A spark might fly and catches your clothes and leaves, of course, you know, a hole in your clothes. Or the least, when you leave, you smell like you've been smoking. So therefore, make sure that you choose the people who bring you, inshallah, to the perfection of character, bidnillahi azza wa jal. Number four, I want to share with you, inshallah, azza wa jal, is to read the stories of the righteous ones. You know, we always love role models. We all love, you know, people that we can emulate and can follow, especially when they're real, not just fantasies. So when we read the Salihin, exactly like we like heroes in our lives. And our heroes as Muslims are those who are, alhamdulillah, as Allah says in the Quran, al-anbiya and the prophets and the messengers, قال أولئك الذين هدى الله فبهداه مقتده. Those are the ones whom Allah, in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, those are the ones whom we have guided, so follow their guidance. So their guidance is the way we follow. That's the akhlaq of the anbiya, that Allah perfected their character for us, salawatullahi wa salam alayhim jami'an. Number five, they want to share, inshallah, to perfect our character here, is to try to do what we call muhasabatun nafs, mujahadatun nafs. It's an ongoing struggle. which means you're going to have to always bring yourself to perfect that. You see, in multiple ayat in the Quran, I choose one of them from Surah Fussilat. In Surah Fussilat, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قال, ادفع بالتي هي أحسن, always respond in that which is best. Always respond in that which is best. He says, always respond in that which is best. Towards the end of the ayat in Surah Fussilat, he says, قال, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. If the shaitan tempts you, if the shaitan seduces you, meaning, what does that mean? As I'm trying to perfect my character in that by responding in that which is best, the shaitan will be always on the way. And sometimes I might snap. I lose it in that moment. I can't. I just lost it in that moment. He said, it's all right. It's all right. Not the end of the world. Recalibrate and redo it again. شَيْعُوذِ بِلَمْ شَيْطَانَ رَجِيمٍ. Recalibrate and try it again. So as we learn from this is that muhasabatun nafs, you always try to do your best. What the Prophet said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمِ وَالْحِلْوِ بِالتَّحَلُّمِ. Those who want to seek knowledge, they have to learn. Go and seek knowledge. And those who like to become patient, they have to also do that. He says, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ. If someone exercises patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for them to become patient. So you need to exercise. And finally, the last thing I would like to advise you with, inshallah ta'ala, is after all of that, of course, we're going to need the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to need the help from Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, ad-du'a, ad-du'a, ad-du'a. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say in his du'a, قال, اللهم اهدني لأحسن الأخلاق فإنه لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت. Ya Allah, guide me to the best of akhlaq and best of manners, because no one can guide to the best of manners better than you. So we ask Allah to perfect our manners. And we're fasting and I cannot drink water right now. And I'm choking with my words. But I'm going to have to be patient with that, inshallah ta'ala, for the next few minutes. The last thing of the dua as well, when the Prophet ﷺ used to look into the mirror, he used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi, fahassan khuluqi. Every time he looks in the mirror, he would say, Ya Allah, the way you have perfected my creation, Ya Allah, perfect my akhlaq and my manners. So that is a dua that I need to keep doing every single day for myself and the people around me. And with that, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who listen to the speech and follow the best of it, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Those who will perfect their character, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us perfect our manners, our characters. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to have the best character, Ya Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us closer to the Prophet salawatullahi wa salam wa najat al-firdaus al-a'la, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Walhamdulillah wa salam nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam.
Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakum Allah khair, Sheikh Yasser. SubhanAllah, I only speak for a few seconds here in the beginning and here at the end. And I don't know how, SubhanAllah, the Shaykh do it, especially because this is probably not your only session of the day or, you know, Khadra of the day, SubhanAllah. So may Allah make it heavy on your scale of deeds. Jazakum Allah khair for always making time for our community during Ramadan. I'm sure we're going to have questions coming through in the chat. For those who do have questions, please feel free to drop them and privately message them to me so I do not lose out on them. And if you've got the gems or if you were fast enough to record as Sheikh was going through the list of attributes, please do share them, inshallah, in the Telegram group so that everyone else can benefit. The first question that I see mentioned by Ziba is, how is Ihsan related to Ruh?
To what?
Sorry, is Ihsan related to Ruh, like the soul?
Ruh? Not sure I understand actually the question. With regard to Ihsan and Ruh, Ruh is actually, we have to keep in mind that Ruh is perfect. Ruh itself is perfect. Because the creation of a ruh is a spiritual being outside of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the ruh in a perfect way. But what we're talking about is a nafs, al insaniya. A nafs is different than a ruh. So what we are trying to perfect is not our ruh, because our ruh is already pure creation. But we're trying to create, we're trying to perfect our nafs. Because a nafs, Allah said in the Quran, قال, إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء. A nafs usually inclines to whisper bad to me, inspire me to do wrong. So a nafs kind of like inclines toward that bad. That's why we try to perfect that. Also, when we say حسن الخلق, if you say to perfect our character, what does that mean? There will always be deficiency in character. So that means some people might not have حسن الخلق, they might have bad خلق, bad akhlaq. So it's the nafs that we try to perfect, but in terms of our ruh, it's always يعني perfect in that sense. So إحسان in the creation of the نفس of the روح actually, not the نفس. والله أعلم. نعم.
Beautiful, Jazakallah khair. I have another question. If someone who's taking advantage of your background as a marriage and family counselor, they're asking, how do we assess good character when considering a potential spouse, especially during the initial stages when everyone presents their best behavior?
والله no matter how much you try, at the end of the day, people change. So even if you marry someone who's mashallah super religious, super kind, super generous, super this, super that, I don't know how they're going to behave afterwards. Because even the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that إِنَّ الرَّجُلُ يَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, you might see a person doing the deeds of al-Jannah. حَتَّى مَا يَكُنُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ. They become so close to Jannah, like the span of a hand. And then subhanAllah, يَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْأَجَلُ, and then they flip, and then eventually they change completely. And you might marry somebody who's completely far away from the deen. And subhanAllah, there will be a change of heart in their life, and suddenly they change. However, in the initial phase, there is no doubt you're going to have to assess by looking around and asking their friends, their co-workers, if they have social media, look at their interaction, for example, what kind of posts they put in there. That can indicate what's their inclination in terms of their akhlaq and their manners and their and so on. So you see how they treat their parents, their siblings, all these kind of things. And then once you have all of that, alhamdulillah, being, you know, probed and investigated, then you make your istikhara and you make your decision and you move on. At the end of the day, marriage is a hazardous experience. You have to come into the relationship with risk. The risk of marrying somebody who is way better than what you expected or otherwise. But at the end of the day, the commitment to make it successful can make things better, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam.
Inshallah, Sheikh, you're really selling everybody on marriage, mashallah. The next couple more questions we'll take, inshallah. One is a little off topic, but we'll take it because it is relevant to all of us. Do you have any advice for one who gets nothing out of fasting except for hunger and thirst?
Man, that's tough. That's wallah, that's tough. Now they're doing the obligation, there's no doubt about it. They're getting the reward for that. Alhamdulillah. But unfortunately, if they have not maintained the husn al-khuluq while they're fasting and they keep speaking ill or lying or this and that, may Allah make it easy for them, ya Rabbil Alameen. That's bad, no doubt about it. But alhamdulillah, at least they're getting the reward for the obligation, to fulfill the obligation. If anyone wants to benefit from the fast of the month of Ramadan, and any fast as well, right, really, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam guide us where we should focus. We should really focus not on getting thirsty or hungry, we should focus on the heart. What is my heart getting out of that experience? And subhanAllah, to me, it's a very interesting thing that when I see now all these new converts coming to Islam, and even non-Muslims, when you hear them speak about Islam, it's just like, wait a minute. I mean, subhanAllah, wallah, they highlight things to you about Islam that you probably sometimes don't pay attention to. Like when they say the most invaluable thing for them about Islam, the most valuable thing to them about Islam is actually discipline. Why? Because they live the life of freedom, right? You're free to do anything. So they're free to hate, free to love, free to do this, free to, no boundaries whatsoever. And we know that the nafs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this nafs with a lot of different dispositions that needs to be cultivated in order for you to have, alhamdulillah, the optimum practice or optimum benefit of your life. But when these people have no boundaries, so there's no discipline whatsoever, they get exhausted and tired. But for us as Muslims, we don't pay attention to it because that's normal to us. When you wake up, there's a specific dhikr, there's a specific ibadah. When you start your day, you always focus on when the Salat al-Dhuhr is going to come. So your time is limited to 1 p.m., for example. Not like everybody else. They're just like, they don't even know what the limit for the day and the evening. So that kind of discipline is what really makes us very unique. So therefore, anyone who wants to fast and benefit from fasting, it's not really about stop eating or drinking. It's about what disciplines bring to me in my life. And that should come from the heart. I need to believe in that first. That this discipline is for my own good, not just for my overall well-being. It's even actually the physical, subhanAllah, and the practice of my life, like being in control of myself. It is extremely important to be successful in this dunya even before the akhirah. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. A difficult question, but you did justice to it. The final one, man, this is very difficult. The questions get better and better as they're coming lower, but I said I would take the first ones first, so I'm going to do my best. The question is, how do you respond to criticism or feedback about your character? How can constructive criticism help you grow?
Be confident, that's all. That's actually a problem with self-esteem. If you don't have confidence with yourself, you're going to always be hurt by everybody, what they say, no matter what good or bad they say to you. But if you're self-confident, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, whatever comes to you, you really always be sure is that doesn't hurt you and doesn't affect you. And that's why the ulama, they say, yani, that the, in terms of riya, or how can I maintain my deen without being affected by what people tell me? Because إِذَا اسْتَوَى عَنْدَكَ الذَّمُّ وَالْمَدْحُ, if both reproach and praise, they're equal to you. Like, praise doesn't make me feel any better, and reproach doesn't make me feel any, you know, any different. Meaning, I don't really get deflated from doing good deeds because people, for example, are criticizing me. So people who have a problem with people criticizing, they need to work on their self-esteem and their self-confidence. Because as a confident person, I'm looking for feedback. I need to improve because I believe I'm not perfect. I can be actually imperfect. And here's the thing. You get feedback from everybody. Those who are better than you and worse than you. And sometimes those who are better than you, they're not going to highlight actually your worst characters, but those who are worse than you, they will, as Umar bin Khattab once said, قال, رحم الله من أهدى إلي عيوبي. May Allah have mercy and someone gives me my own weaknesses and my own shortcomings. Like, I need to know them, right? Because that's how I can improve. So if you take it, if you take that kind of criticism with full confidence, again, I am very confident with myself, alhamdulillah. So criticism, it doesn't bother me much. So therefore, alhamdulillah, it really makes me a better person, inshallah ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam.
Beautiful. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. I will say just quickly, I think the person is trying to say is how do you, instead of getting your ego involved, which I think you addressed, is how do you use that constructive criticism when it is beneficial to help you grow without that element of ego? I think you addressed the first part of it. But
well,
just
if I may give a sequence of events over here.
Yes.
What is the number one reason for people not listening to somebody when they're criticizing them or they argue with them?
It hit a soft spot.
Not ego.
Not ego?
Mm-mm. The number one reason why we're not listening to people when they criticize us. I hear people saying low self-esteem, ego, wisdom. What else? Arrogance, pride, loss of temper. No, let me give you the answer. The number one reason why people don't listen to someone who's criticizing them, because at the time when they're arguing with us or when they're criticizing us, we start focusing on our own pain. We don't focus on theirs. When someone criticizes you, they feel kind of like bothered by something about what you said, what you did, and they try to bring it to your attention. So they're expressing some element of pain. And for you, when they start criticizing you, just like, are you kidding me? Now in your mind, it's just like, you call this painful? So immediately we start like focusing on our own pain. And now who's benefiting from that? Our ego. That's when our ego comes in. Our ego is biased. Our ego is selfish. Is designed to keep you always feel safe. And I recommend a book for anyone who wants to read on the subject, actually. Again, any book recommendation, as a Muslim, I filter everything I read. Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. So it will help you understand what the function of the ego, obviously. So the ego kicks in telling you, are you going to let him say this to you? Are you going to really be quiet about this issue? So the ego starts basically because the ego doesn't want you to feel bad. Okay, now. Ego becomes what? The Trojan horse for who? For the shaitan. And that's when the shaitan starts whispering to you. Because Allah said about the shaitan, قال وَمَا كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. I had no control over you, except that I whispered to you. I just whispered to you, and you listened to me. So the shaitan blows into the ego, and the ego starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, blinds you completely, so you don't listen anymore, completely anymore. There's another book, actually, I usually teach people from. Although I give you a heads up right now. This is one of the most boring books you will ever read. Because it's very academic, very technical, so like a textbook, but it's very important in its subject. This is actually, they teach this for chaplains. Because when you go to the hospitals or go to the cemetery, grieving people and so on, so you're going to have to really learn the art of listening. It's extremely, extremely important. Extremely important. Once again, the book is actually called The Lost Art of Listening. Once again, as a Muslim, any book recommendation I give you, I expect you, alhamdulillah, to have your own yani Muslim goggles as you read. And of course, you will filter what you read, inshallah ta'ala. Now.
Beautiful. Jazakumullah khair. You didn't even see the question. There's people asking for book recommendations on YouTube. So you answered another one. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. Yes, sir. I know a lot of people are asking, a couple of people saying, I want to attend classes with you. So if you get a catch Sheikh Yasser on site, you better take a flight if you have to benefit from him, because it's a rare site and it's a beneficial one. However, Sheikh, I know they've been knocking on our doors in the UK and begging and begging and begging us to bring you over there. So alhamdulillah, some of you might know this already, this great news that I'm about to share. But alhamdulillah, we finally are bringing Sheikh Yasser close to London. Inshallah, yes, Bilal is correct. We're having an Ilm Summit taking place, inshallah, this August with Sheikh Yasser Bijaz as one of our premier teachers who's going to be presenting. So congratulations to those who've been begging for years and years to make this happen. Alhamdulillah, it's happened. August 18 to 14 is happening. This is a week-long, seven-day intensive with four of our senior scholars. Well, Sheikh Amar's maybe not senior, but popular, alhamdulillah. At a Maghrib Institute, Sheikh Waleed, Sheikh Yasser, Sheikh Abu Isa Nimotala, and Sheikh Amar Shukri are going to be there with us. It's going to be in Hull in the UK. I don't know where that is, but apparently I've been told it's 2 hours away from Manchester and London and from all the hubs. I know a lot of people are looking at flights right now. So, make istikhara, book your plans, register now, inshallah, and secure your spot. There's limited spots for this because it's meant to be a kind of a more intimate and a private gathering. So we look forward to seeing you guys all there. The URL is almaghrib.org/ilmsummit. We'll share that in the chat with you all as well. But if you're looking to benefit from Sheikh Yasser in person in an intensive environment with a lot of like-minded lovers, seekers of knowledge, inshallah, please do join us there, inshallah. And I'm glad that I see the excitement here in the chat. Sheikh Yasser, it's been like a decade, I think, almost since the last Ilm Summit. Were you there?
Not in the UK. I've never actually visited the UK yet. It's going to be my first time ever coming to the UK, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. But I've been to Europe, of course. I lived in Europe for a few years. And inshallah, yes. Another actually announcement for those who would like to come and join us, bidnillah. We are planning another trip to Bosnia, inshallah, blessed inshallah. Voyage to Bosnia, inshallah wa ta'ala. The date's still not decided. It's going to be probably the last week of July or the first week of August. Just kind of like around that time, inshallah ta'ala. Hopefully for those who would like to come and join us, bismillah, get ready, bismillah azza wa jal. We'll see you, inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Yasser. A pleasure as always to have you back.
From Malaysia, actually, she was with us as well. She said she misses the trip from Bosnia, so she's back here.
Inshallah. MashaAllah. No, honestly, that's one to travel the world. Take a month off, hit up Bosnia, stick around in Europe, and then hit up Ilm Summit, inshallah, with us as well. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Yasser. Always a pleasure to have you on. We look forward to seeing your shenanigans continue with Sheikh Umar, and may Allah make them successful. Ameen. And we'll catch you very soon in our upcoming programs.
Inshallah.
And again, blessedvoyage.org is where you can find out more information when that trip launches. It'll be soon, inshallah. We've been in discussions for quite some time. I highly recommend, especially honestly, if we've been following what's been happening in Palestine, there's been a lot of the footprint of some of the injustices that happened to our brothers and sisters in Palestine happened already in Bosnia. And there's a lot of history. There's a lot to be learned from the resilience of the Muslims there. So I highly encourage if you guys get an opportunity to go with Sheikh Yasser on one of those trips, it's a life-changing experience. And I saw all the buzzing happening last year in the group that went, and I hope that you guys get a chance to benefit and go as well, inshallah, when it launches. And of course, Ilm Summit has been something a long time in the making. That has been, like, I think the entire Amagri world has been probably praying tahajjud and making dua that we finally bring it back. Jazakallah khair, Faslin, for dropping it here in the chat on YouTube. Once again, it's almaghrib.org/Ilm Summit. Limited seats. There's not enough seats for the people that are on these calls right now. So just heads up, when they sell out, they sell out. And we hope to see you guys all there, inshallah ta'ala. With that said, let me just have a quick look at this daily giving counter. I don't know if it's moved at all. I know we're trying to, like, finally hit that last little bit to get to 1,000, inshallah, 1,000 amazing individuals who are supporting us on the campaign, inshallah, every single day this Ramadan. Now you have less than half of Ramadan left. So if you give now, it's almost like it's 50% off, if you think of it like that, inshallah. And of course, for those who've given, jazakallah khair, may Allah make it heavy on your scale of deeds. Keep sharing to those who may benefit from this extra little bit of ajr in their daily routine. Especially, like I've been mentioning, is sometimes you have good days, sometimes you have not so good days in your ibadah and your efforts and everything else. But at least with this, you've automated some of your efforts. You're continuously getting that ajr, inshallah. Once again, that link is almaghrib.org/givedaily. That was Sheikh Yasser Bijaz that we just finished with. on the topic of good character for day number 16 of Ramadan 360. Alhamdulillah. And we keep it pushing with our chance now to reflect on the topic of good character. There were some amazing questions coming in, so I'm expecting some amazing reflections to result as well from this topic with Ustada Taymiyyah Zubair. And oops, I took a little bit extra time. Sorry, Ustada Taymiyyah. As we start jumping into our Quran reflect session for the day. And for those who have kind of logistical questions, we'll get back to you guys in the chat in just a second. But assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ustada, how are you doing today?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, I'm well.
Alhamdulillah.
Really enjoyed the session, alhamdulillah, on husnul khuluq, and looking forward to hearing everyone's reflections, inshallah.
Beautiful. Say likewise, Ustada. I'm going to pass it off to you, inshallah. Let's jump right into our reflections. Bismillah.
All right, let's begin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everyone. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Was salatu was salamu ala rasulihil kareem. So, husnul khuluq, alhamdulillah, we got a very good explanation of what husnul khuluq is. It's a person's character, and it reminded me of how, you know, your khalq is your outer form, right? And your khuluq is your inner form. Your outer form, your khalq, your physical form, is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, right? It's something that, you know, you don't get to decide, you don't get to choose. It is measured and proportioned according to Allah's decree, according to His qadr. And when it comes to your inner form, actually, your khuluq, part of that is also by design. There's a hadith in which we learn that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah created Adam ﷺ from a handful of earth, which He took from different parts of the earth. All right, handful of soil, which He took from different parts of the earth. And He said, this is why the children of Adam are in accordance with the earth, right? They vary in terms of their color. So He said, some people are red, some people are white, some people are darker, some a mixture. And He said also, some smooth and some are rough, right? Meaning in terms of their disposition, in terms of their character, people vary. Some people are super gentle, super cooperative, super nice. That's just how they are by nature, right? And then there are others who are difficult to deal with. They're a bit more harsh. So the thing is that, yes, part of our character is by nature. It is determined by nature, but it's not something that is completely out of our control. It is something that we can actually work on. It is something that can be improved, right? And each person is rewarded according to their effort and their work. So this is why khuluq is explained as the manner, the character that a person takes on, all right? Through their effort, through practice, through patience, all right? And then it becomes a part of their nature. So it becomes their natural response, you know, it becomes their natural way in which they, you know, respond to different situations, all right? However, it is something that can be worked on. Now, this makes me think about how a little child, right, like a toddler, has no self-regulation, right? They don't care. They're in the middle of, a store or in the car, at home, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. It doesn't matter who it is, right? Or what's going on. They want something. They want it, right? And they make it clear that they want it. They'll scream. They'll cry. They'll hit. But then what happens? Through the way that, you know, people interact with the child, the child learns what a better way of talking is, right? Of communicating is. But somehow we think that if I am 30 years old and I get angry quickly and this is just how I react, then this is just who I am. No, this is not just who you are. You actually have the ability to self-regulate, right? To manage your behavior, your reactions, the way that you deal with people, the way that you respond in situations when you're angry, when you're upset, when you're disappointed. And all of this can be worked on and it can be improved with the help of Allah. And alhamdulillah, we got excellent guidance on how to improve our akhlaq. Now, I want to focus on a few verses from Surat Qalam. All right. So I'm going to quickly share. Bismillah. All right. You all see it?
Yes, we do.
Okay, awesome. So this is Surat Al-Qalam. And in Surat Al-Qalam, right at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Noon wal-qalami wa ma yasturun. Noon by the pen and what they inscribe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by the pen over here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only takes an oath by something that is important, right? And the qalam, the pen, of course, is very honorable because not only is it the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, but it's actually something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created by His hand, right? And with the Qur'an, sorry, with the qalam, with the pen, the Qur'an is written. So, wal qalami, by the pen, وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ, and what they inscribe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath. And what is the conclusion or what is being established? That مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. You, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are not by the favor of your Lord a madman. His enemies called him a madman, right? They called him crazy. They called him Majnoon. Majnoon is someone whose intellect is covered up, right? Meaning they're not in their senses. And when a person is not in their senses, their behavior, their speech, right? Their manner, all of that shows, right? So why did they say that you are Majnoon, you are crazy? Because he said, La ilaha illallah. And for them, this was very odd that how could a person say, La ilaha illallah? This is madness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you are not, by the favor of your Lord, a madman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected you. You are not crazy. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. And indeed, for you is a reward that is uninterrupted. You are calling people to the oneness of Allah. And every single person that believes, right? And then after that, they do anything good. The reward of that goes to who? To that person and also to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine you recite the Quran today, all right? You pray salah, you make dhikr, you are rewarded for that, but an equal amount of reward for your good deeds is also going to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is the one who taught all of these good things to us, right? So imagine the reward of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uninterrupted. All right. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And indeed you are of a great moral character. Subhanallah. Why is his akhlaq being mentioned over here? His good character being mentioned over here? There's two things. All right. The first thing is that this shows us that it is only people who have good akhlaq, good character, who can actually do da'wah, who can call people to Allah. Because calling people to Allah is not easy, right? This is hard work. There's opposition. There's ridicule and mockery from people, right? There are lies, right? So if you don't have good character, what's going to happen? You're going to respond with anger. You're going to respond with impatience, right? And that's going to make you ineffective. So if you want to be effective in what you're doing, even if it is, you know, raising your children, right? What is essential? Good character. Without good character, you cannot be successful. As a leader in any capacity, right? At work, in a project, when you're dealing with people, even as a teacher, you cannot be successful in your work unless and until you have good character. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the greatest mission, the greatest task, the most important, which was to save people from hell, from Jahannam, right? Call people to La ilaha illallah. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are of a great moral character, and this is why you must respond according to that to your enemies. And the second thing that we can learn from this, وَإِنَّكَ لَعْلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, is that the excellent character of the Prophet ﷺ was proof of his prophethood. All right? You see, earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you are not a madman. Right? And then he says that you are of a great moral character. If you think about it, excellent character and insanity cannot be combined in one person, right? Someone who has gone insane does not have any control over themselves. They don't have any control over their body. They don't have any control over their behavior, over their speech, right? I mean, people experience different kinds of madness, and you see how sometimes people are just shouting, people are staring, people are hitting others. That's the complete opposite of good character, right? The Prophet ﷺ was of great moral character. He had mastered himself, right? With his patience, with his self-regulation, with his kindness, with his smiling, with his generosity, with his steadfastness. So all of that was actually proof of his truthfulness. And it is one of the things that actually helped him in his da'wah. Right? It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equipped him with in order to give him success in his da'wah. Because people were deeply affected by his good character, right? There were people who said to him that there is no one on earth whom I hate more than you, right? Like Thumama ibn Uthal, when he was captured, he said this, right? And then after a couple days, what happened? When he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right, when he witnessed his interactions with people, and when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, you know, dealt with him, and then he, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pardoned him, let him go, Thumama ibn Usal came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "By Allah, there was no one whom I hated on the face of the earth more than you, and now there is no one whom I love on the face of the earth more than you." This was, of course, a change of heart, because now Thumama had iman in his heart, right? But he was deeply affected by the character, the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he engaged with the young and the old, the men and the women, right? With different people. So Thumama witnessed all of that himself. And we see that whether it was someone who was close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or far from him, they all, they benefited from his excellent character. In fact, if you think about it, which people are able to really tell what kind of character you have? Is it your friends? Is it the strangers? No, it's the people that live with you, right? Especially people whom you actually have an upper hand over. Right? And Anas radiallahu anhu said that I lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. I served him for so long. And not even once did he say to me, "Why did you do this?" or "Why did you not do this?" Subhanallah. And Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, "Kana ahsana an-nasi khuluqa." He was the best of all people in character. And she explained that he was neither vulgar nor was he harsh, because that's what happens, right? When people are angry, they become vulgar, they become harsh. He was not loud. He would not compensate evil with its like, right? That's not how he would respond to evil with evil. No, he would pardon and he would forgive. Subhanallah. So looking at these, just one more thing. If you continue to read Surah Qalam, right, you see later on in the surah, verses 10 onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the character of the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? People who were habitual swearers, right? Those who would scorn at others, attack them, ridicule them, spreading malicious gossip, preventing good, transgressing, sinful, cruel bullies. This was the character of the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in contrast, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his character was azim. All right, so let's hear from you. Reflections, and remember, keep your reflections within 30 seconds, under 30 seconds, inshallah, so that we can hear from as many of you as possible. All right, let's begin. Bismillah.
Beautiful. I see quite a few hands up already, mashallah. So let's take Amina from Irving first, inshallah, and then next we'll have Ahmed Bati. Amina, go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa
So I just wanted to kind of stress on how important it is, especially us as Muslims, to have good akhlaq, especially when we're living in a lot of non-Muslim countries where a lot of people, Christians or people of other religion, they don't really see Islam. They see Muslims who follow Islam. So this, like having good akhlaq, being nice to them and just having, you know, just be kind. And like you mentioned, Prophet Muhammad was nice to basically everyone. And it was, that is why it was easy for him to spread the message of Islam. So I just think that's so important to have that, to show people that.
Absolutely. But it's first and foremost, the people who live with you, they're the most deserving of your good, kind treatment, your good character. Because sometimes we don't care about how we are dealing with people at home, but when it comes to strangers, especially non-Muslims, we try to fake our best self, right? But because it's all fake, it doesn't last very long. So start with people at home. Right, next person.
Beautiful. Next person is Ahmed. Ahmed, go right ahead. Bismillah.
Thank you so much. Yes, so one of my favorite ayah was quoted today. It was Kad afala man zakkaha. And I think what I like the word, Arabic word afala, which if I'm correct, it comes from the Arabic of toiling. It's a tool that is used to get your character fixed. I think you need to work like a farmer, work hard and toil. And then I think you'll have a chance of getting your soul and your character fixed. Thank you.
It requires constant work and attention.
The next person. So we'll switch it up a little bit because I want to hear from some new voices as well. And then we'll go back to the next person in line. So Kenneth from Toronto, go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. So my sister used to actually work at the CN Tower. And she realized, or she was always one who was generally very quiet. But out of all the people, every time when they had a certain responsibility or a task to do, or anyone that they would trust, they wouldn't trust anyone in that work environment except my sister. And they realized that she was always the one who never backbited or, you know, that really good character. And she was the only Muslim there as well. And yeah, so I just wanted to, it's so important to have good character. She wasn't preaching or anything like that. It was just simply her presence that made everyone else see her difference.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. May Allah make it all of us that person in any gathering. I mean, I see S, inshallah. Go right ahead, S.
Assalamu alaikum. I had a experience this past 2 months ago that really taught me about my akhlaq. I've been trying to better myself recently, but unfortunately I had a really bad experience at work where the management, the way that they singled me out and treated me was like really bad. And usually I'm able to stay calm and not react, but it got to such a horrendous level that I ended up reacting. And afterward, I felt so much regret because I've never reacted that badly. And I was like, you should have just kept quiet despite whatever they've done. You should have kept quiet. So I think that was a really valuable experience because it taught me, first, don't stay in an environment that's just really toxic and negative. Like, don't try to tough it out if there's not legitimate reasons. And second, don't ever let someone get to you so much that you do actions that you regret personally for a long time. But yeah, that's it.
Jazakallah khair.
Inshallah. The next person, let's have Amina from Indiana. Go right ahead, Amina.
Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to stress the importance of having a good character living in a non-Muslim society as a hijabi, because we not only represent ourselves, but Islam as a whole.
The next person we have is, ooh, lost it, Aisha Ibrahim. Go right ahead, Aisha.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Alhamdulillah, we can hear you.
My reflection is that you should always have good akhlaq no matter where you are, even if it's just like close family and siblings, because like you want to teach them, especially if you have younger siblings, you want to teach them like how to have good akhlaq, especially like when they grow up.
Well said, yeah. Jazakallah khair. The next person we have is Bilqis. Mashallah, we have a lot of hands today. Amazing to see everybody ready to reflect and keeping everything concise. Just a reminder, guys, is try to make sure that you test out your audio before you come on. You can do that next to your mic in the upwards arrow. That way you can make sure it sounds clear and you don't have to stress about it when you're online, when you're on like unmuted. So Bilqis, go right ahead, Bismillah. Let's hear from you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What I've been thinking of is that despite the fact that Salah fasting is for, we have to do it. There's no excuse. We have to do that. But our character is very important as well. If we want to be productive in whatever we choose to do, if we want to improve, we have to improve our character. Mm-hmm. Living in the West, I find sometimes non-Muslim do have beautiful, amazing character, though sadly they don't have the iman to go with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them all.
And next we'll have Ragad from Florida, inshallah. Ragad, come right on.
Assalamu alaikum. I've been listening to a lot of lectures and I heard this mentioned several times about the Sahabi that had a lot of patience and forbearance, and he was a leader of his community, and then the people saw that as a weakness. And the Prophet, he asked the Prophet, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, no, this isn't a weakness. And he said, is this something that I have, or is it something Allah gave me? And he told him, Allah gave it to you, and it's something that you have. So he told him, you know, Allah gave you some of it, but you've nurtured it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I figured that that's also something, you know, that all of us, sometimes we show these signs as babies, as toddlers, that it's a character that we have. You know, our mothers might tell us, well, since you were a baby, you were a very good baby. And, you know, or some kids are just angry even when they're babies. But it's like, it's something that you nurture. Either you nurture that or in a good way, or you nurture it in a bad way. So, jazakumullah khair.
Well said, Raga. Jazakumullah khair. The next person, let's take Lydia. Go right ahead, Lydia. Bismillah. Let's hear from you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I'm a revert for the last 18 years, and I've been blessed with four beautiful children. And in just the way our family dynamics work is I have to stay home with them. I don't get to work in the public. I'm basically just raising my children, but they're getting older now. And I just like when you said that it starts at home too, you know, the have to have good character, because I can't go out and make dawa in public. I feel like I do have a good character. I could do that. But I'm doing it with my children, inshallah, and I'm hoping that I'm raising good Muslims for the ummah.
Inshallah.
Thank you.
Great reflection, Lydia. Jazakumullah khair. I think someone else was saying about siblings as well. You don't realize a lot of times, like Sheikh Yasser was mentioning, I'm going to jump in with my reflection. He was mentioning earlier about, I'm about to lose it, about our outside self and our inside self, right? And a lot of times we care a lot about giving dawah outside of the house and you know, impacting the people's opinion about Muslims and Islam outside of the house and the way we represent ourselves. We don't realize how much of an impact we're having on those around us. And you can put family members, push them closer or away from the deen because of the way that you interact, because they see you being a hypocrite in your daily life, subhanAllah. So that's a good reminder. Jazakumullah khair for inspiring that reflection in me as well, guys. Let's hear next from... actually, we had a previous host, mashallah. I see her back by Aisha. I don't know how to say your last name by Aisha, but let's hear from you, Bismillah. Go right ahead.
Jazakallah khairan. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. So just a quick reflection. It brought me back to that incident in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where one of the sahaba went up to him and told him that he wanted to commit zina. So it's sort of like I went back to that hadith because it shows you the beautiful character of the Prophet ﷺ, that the people around him were actually comfortable asking him these taboo questions. So yeah, jazakallah khairan.
And the way that he asked that man, right, that young man, you know, different questions so that the man would understand that zina is something evil. The Prophet ﷺ didn't shame him, didn't say, well, you know, it's haram. How can I help you then? Right. The way that the Prophet ﷺ spoke to him so kindly, it actually affected the man so much that he himself was willing to leave it. SubhanAllah.
All right, we got a few minutes left and we got eight hands up. So we'll do as many as we can, inshallah, in that time. Let's hear from Aisha Gomda next. Aisha, go right ahead. And after you will be Ramshad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today's topic made me remember a lecture I heard from Sheikh Numan. And he said that in all our dealings, we need to understand that our character may be sometimes different from the way we portray our Islamic actions. So for example, he made an allusion that someone can go to Hajj every year, but have an anger problem. So we need to work on our akhlaq or on our character. Jazakumullah khair.
Bismillah. And next, let's bring on Ramsha. Ramsha, go right ahead if you're ready to unmute.
Assalamu alaikum, sister. I just wanted to say that, like, I've personally seen, like, in my family, certain people, they are, like, misjudged and discriminated, like, for certain things. But still, like, one traveler really likes to say is about my mother. She sometimes, you know, from her in-laws, she's kind of discriminated. But still, alhamdulillah, she has a very good character. Alhamdulillah. And that's why I've seen that, not at least if not from the people from my family, but Allah has given her a lot of other people, like she's a teacher in a school, so people around there, she teaches to the people, like underprivileged children and the families, so a lot of people from there, they really adore her. So I'm really, really proud of her good character. Yeah, that's what I want to say.
Beautiful. Jazakumullah for sharing, Ramsha. And then final person, inshallah. I'm sorry, we won't be able to get through everyone, but amazing reflection so far. Let's hear from, who was that? Sorry. I think I did Show Me already. Did I Show Me already, Ustada?
I don't remember. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Let's try for Show Me, inshallah. If it's a mistake, then we'll do one more person. Show Me, have you spoken?
No. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Let's hear from you.
So I just want to share one of my experiences that whenever I have like reacted or raised my voice during any argument or any heated conversation, every time I just lost it. I was in a losing position. It never helped me, only it damaged my relationship. But whenever I try to be calm, I try to be like quiet and silent, it helped me. And I was in the favor, in the situation. So this is what I have experienced in my life, that actually good characters and being nice, gentle is very, very important in our personal life all the time.
Jazakallah khairan for sharing. You're very right. When there is more anger, a person is being more reactive. Shaitan is very active over there.
Yeah.
But when a person is calm, then they have the help of Allah as well in that situation. There's something I want to quickly address. There's a question in the comments. As Muslims, are we supposed to hate the disbelievers? The thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He does not forbid us from being good to those disbelievers who do not fight against us and who do not try to evict us from our homes and so on and so forth. And those who are not hostile towards you, then you don't have to be hostile towards them, right? You are allowed to, you should be أن تبروهم وتحسنوا إليهم. You should be good to them. You should be kind to them. But those who do show hostility towards you, right, who openly يعني oppose you, then you cannot be naive over there and just pretend like they're your friends. All right. So I see a lot of verses being quoted in response to this question. So remember that there's nuance over here. So be careful, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair. Alhamdulillah for your guidance when it comes to tackling some of these like complicated issues. And alhamdulillah for everybody, jazakumullah khair, who reflected. And I see more and more hands every day. It's beautiful to see, inshallah. Let's keep up that energy. Ustada, looking forward to reflecting once again tomorrow after our topic on justice with Sheikh Omar Sinan. We'll see you then, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And for everybody else here, of course, there's been a lot of little plugs, a lot of little announcements today. I hope that you guys have kept up. Of course, we mentioned our ILM Summit program launching, alhamdulillah, now. I thought I accidentally said it too early, but it has just launched as of yesterday, which is our immersive tarbiyah experience for one full week with some of our amazing instructors, Sheikh Abu Isa Nimutallah, Sheikh Yasser Bijas, Sheikh Walid Basyuni, and Sheikh Amar Shukri, who you've benefited immensely from during Ramadan 360. Look out for that at maghrib.org/ILM Summit. Please continue, of course, to support the amazing folks that make Ramadan 360 possible and that uphold and protect the most vulnerable in our Ummah, that is HHRD in the US, Islamic Relief in Canada, and Forgotten Women in the UK. And inshallah, you're going to hear more from them coming up, inshallah, in the Ramadan 360 program. But please continue to keep them in your thoughts and support them as much as you can through the links that we've shared in the chat and in the bio on YouTube. And then finally, I tend to do a reminder, I know, of course, there's the Give Daily program. I know we've got one more person. It was 991 when we started this session, and we're now at 992. Oh, no, wait, we're at 993. Alhamdulillah. May Allah reward and accept from you all and grant you Jannatul Firdaus and make this heavy on your scale of deeds. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And to everybody who's donated so far as well, Ameen. Jazakumullah khair. Please help us with that final few to get to 1,000, inshallah. And then you're going to stop hearing from daily giving. But may Allah continue your ajr and your reward for those who are giving consistently, alhamdulillah. And yes, usually I say this, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. To be honest, I started that in Ramadan, I started that in COVID a couple of years ago when we were all worried about safety. We were all worried about, you know, the pandemic and all that craziness. But I was just reflecting earlier today, since we're on the topic of reflecting, that we're, alhamdulillah, most of us are healthy, most of us are safe, most of us are relatively happy. But it's really difficult to say that now. Is the only things that I can think about is the happiness, the health, and the safety of the people in Palestine, and they don't have any of that, subhanAllah. So keep them in your du'as. I want to switch up that outro sometime because I feel like it's not as relevant to us. So, you know, free Palestine, make sure that every single day that, you know, whenever you're interacting, you're benefiting for yourselves and you're trying to maintain your ibadah, that you're keeping them in your du'as. Every single sajda that you do, every single little bit of donation that you're trying to make sure that you're consistently working with every effort that you can make for the people of Palestine, and get creative as well. There's so much more to do that we haven't exhausted. And I know it's kind of easy. We're tiring in the second half of Ramadan. They've been tired since it began. They've been tired for the past 5, 6, 7 months. So there's nothing that we can do that's going to be too much for us. If we have to get a second job, if you have to do whatever you need to do to donate as much as you can, nothing can be, you know, enough for what they're experiencing and what we're not able to do for them. So do whatever you can. And that's just the only thing I wanted to kind of remind us of, especially as we're going towards the end of Ramadan as well, and our opportunities to do good are being multiplied still, and we're losing that window of time. Please continue to support, and jazakumullah khair for being part of this beautiful community that reminds each other constantly to improve ourselves and to help to improve the conditions of our brothers and sisters. So we'll see you guys tomorrow, inshallah, with Sheikh Omar Suleiman. I know that's usually the hype event that everyone goes crazy for. I see Leela going crazy on screen, mashallah. I know people are excited in chat, so do mark your calendars, join us live, share the event, share Ramadan 360 so others can make sure they do not miss out. And you do want to be in the room here with us. You don't just want to be on YouTube. Ramadan360.org. We'll see you then. For now, take care. Assalamu alaikum.